My name's Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 20th of August 2009. The time is now 10:19 p.m. Could you tell me please your name, your age and where you come from? Sorry, your name and where you come from.
My name is Gerard Harris. I'm originally from LA and I live here in London as well.
How long have you lived in London?
8-9 years or so.
So why did you decide to make the move to the UK?
I originally came to study classical acting at drama school. I came to study at the Lambda, London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. And the rest is history.
Could you fill in a bit of the rest for us? Because we don't know your history as well as you
do. Oh, you gotta Google me then, don't you? No. From there I started doing musical theater, got into some West End shows, and then had a solo singing career, released some singles, and then now I've formed a singing group, The Emperors of Soul, as a tribute and homage to The Temptations, because I had written a Temptation script, and when that, it kind of hit a dead end, so to speak, a friend of mine suggested, keep the momentum going some way, put a group together, something gig, and generate some interest in your script in that respect. And so that's what I did. And the group, we, 8 months later after forming, we found ourselves on national television every Saturday night for the whole month of January. It's really nice. So, it was quite phenomenal after just 8 months of getting together to find ourselves, in millions of homes around the country.
How did that happen?
Again, it was like, it was a television show called Eurovision, Your Country Needs You, where Andrew Lloyd Webber had to choose six acts of who would sing a song he was going to write for the Eurovision song entry. And one of the group members approached me and, he knows I hate reality programs. I do not watch them. I don't rate them. I don't consider them. And he kind of influenced me. He goes, well, it's not like all the other shows, it's very short. It doesn't go on for months and months. Andrew Lloyd Webber is involved and it's more of a nurturing type thing. And it wouldn't hurt. It could only help us. I'm like, okay, yeah, I think you're right. Okay, so I submitted the group on that. And they were quite eager to have us come in when I described what we were. We sing soul music, we're a quintet, however many of us there were. And from the first audition, they were really happy with what they saw, and Andrew Lloyd Webber came in, he was really happy with us, and we got into the show, one of six acts.
Had you been in a group before?
No, personally, I headed a rock band. Well, I mean, I had a little group that, two other guys who I was in another show with, our voices sounded so good together, we called ourselves Soul Divine. And we got together and tried to get something going and made loads of recordings and stuff, but it never really came to anything. I really miss that because, it's very rare when you find other voices who fit so well with yours. I bet if those two guys walked in here now, we could just slot right into harmonies with each other. And I've not really found that since, not even with the Emperors of Soul. We have to work really hard at, getting our sound just right and really getting the dynamics and everything. One of our group members is a accomplished musician, musical director himself, so he really, cracks the whip with us and gets it all just right, so.
Tell me a little bit about the other guys.
One guy, like I said, is a musical director, musician, his name is Fraser. He teaches, he and I, we're in a show just here at Trafalgar Studios some years ago called Simply Heavenly West End Show. We toured a show called Soul Train, which celebrated American soul music. And he was also in Lion King, I believe. One of the other members, Julian, he is now in Sister Act. He and I did Five Guys Named Mo together. He was in Lion King in Paris. And he's got a real gritty, soulful, real hard voice, really great singer. Another member, Leon, he's done like everything you could think of in the West End, Rent, All You Need Is Love, God, he's done so much, it's just
But how did you guys actually get together?
Again, we've all done shows together, and that's, I put the group together. So I wanted to draw upon people I've worked with before, whose work I know, whose voices I know, because I had a clear idea of what I wanted. And so I just called upon people who I've worked with, and if I couldn't think of someone, you know, it's like, okay, well, who can sing bass? Okay, who can sing that bit? Who is like, oh, yeah, him, yeah, okay, yeah, we did that show together, okay, yeah. And it all just kind of gelled, you know.
Are you considering going back to the West End?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, it's always there. You know, when something comes up that one is right for, you know, the agent sends you out, you know. But I've been doing, actually, a lot of film work on my... My last West End show was 3 years ago. It was the Whistle Down the Wind at the Palace Theater. That was lots of fun. Nice little short run right before Spamalot came in. And then my last film was a Jean-Claude Van Damme film, Until Death, which was actually on Channel 5 just last month. I was flipping past. It's like, there's my film! Because it was doing so well on DVD. It had been on DVD for the last year or so. And I was always getting an email or a phone call from someone. I rented this movie and I saw you, and you know, you're sitting there in the police car with Van Damme. It's like, yeah, yeah. So,
why did you want to take part in this project?
I wanted to use it as another platform to promote the group. Since the TV show, we've been doing just a lot of private stuff. Nothing as high profile as the TV show. So I really wanted to just do something to keep our profile up again. And then I thought this was the great, great, great way to do it. I was hoping the rules would be bent so that, you know, more of us could go up there, but unfortunately not. So I'm going to have to carry the banner for the group, and, you know, I'll be up there singing some of our songs, and then I'll also be singing some of my solo songs, my one hit single from a couple years ago, and a couple of the B-sides as well, and you know, hopefully getting people dancing and singing along as well.
How's it going to be performing on your own, do you think
it'll
change?
Ooh, well, it's not anything I'm not used to, but doing the group stuff on my own is going to be a bit nerve-wracking, you know, because a lot of our stuff is quite precise. There's a lot of precision, a lot of choreography, a lot of intricate harmonies and movements and stuff. So that's kind of going to be thrown out of the window. So, you know, it's sort of like I'll be thinking on my feet, so to speak, and having to really entertain all by myself and pretty much put myself and the other members into my body and try to convey what an Emperors of Soul show would be like. You know, have people use their imagination.
Were you aware of Anthony Gormley's work prior to this project?
No, I was not, but funnily enough, when I didn't mention his name to a lot of my friends, like, oh, yeah, I know him, yeah. But no, I never heard of Anthony, right? Never heard of Anthony before this project, but I'm very interested to find out more about him now.
Just going back to the singing for a minute, did you do a lot of singing as a kid? Were you always interested in
it? Yeah. I mean, I come from a musical family and actually grew up from like age 4 singing like the family. I'm the youngest of 6, and all my siblings, my family and parents, they all sang and stuff, and I kind of came along the baby, you know, and started singing. Actually, one of my sisters is the real singer of the family, but I'm the one who made a profession of it. But yeah, I've been singing all my life through school and high school. I mean, when I had my puberty and lost my voice, I stopped singing for about 5 years, and that's when I really got into acting and dancing. And so it was kind of good, you know, even though I missed singing during that period. It did kind of open me up and help me to hone other skills as well. And then once the voice kind of settled, took up the singing again while at university and started doing some Disney shows and stuff in LA and some commercials and soap operas. And
so when did your love affair with Temptations start?
Believe it or not, quite late in life. I mean, I grew up like in the Jackson 5 and the Supremes and stuff like that. But then I guess when I started singing and identifying vocally with male singers, that's when I really got into the Temptations. So I would probably say maybe about 6-7 years ago, really, really got in. Even though just growing up, because like my father really loved the Temptations and all the Motown, while my mother, she really liked like the Aretha Franklin and the Dionne Warwick and Nancy Wilson type singers. So, you know, you know, every little boy loves his dad and wants to be with dad all the time. So we're driving around in his little sports car, and he had his, you know, real high-tech 8-track player system with all the 8-track tapes, and listening to all the Motown stuff all the time. So it was just always around me and in my sphere.
Is there anything particularly about the Temptations which you think makes it, you know, particularly suitable for what, for your voice?
Well, yeah, I guess the one singer that I tend to emulate is the Eddie Kendricks, the high-pitched falsetto, because that range comes very, very naturally to me. I could sing it in my sleep till the day I die. So yeah, I do identify with the falsetto, high-pitched singing. And yeah, all that early 70s stuff, when a lot of those singers were singing high-pitched and stuff, that's what really attracted me.
What do you do when you're not working?
Resting. No, I also teach. I'm a qualified teacher, so I do teach German, believe it or not, and humanities, history, geography. I also can teach up to A-level mathematics and basic biology and chemistry, physics, and English. Yeah, and then also read. I love reading. I'm an avid cyclist. I cycle everywhere. I rarely take public transport. Just, I've got my bike. If, you know, I got too much to carry like I did today, then I have to take a bus or a train. But otherwise, I'm always cycling. Love listening to music, you know, going to concerts.
Where do you teach?
Oh, Greater London. Public, you know, public schools, state schools. Also, some private schools, like the American School in St. John's Wood. Yeah, something like that.
What was it like coming over from LA? Was it a bit of a culture shock?
Oh, extremely. A big time culture shock. I mean, it's hard to remember now. I was having this discussion with someone a couple weeks ago, you know, how green I was when I came in, and I was trying to think of some examples, and about the only thing I could come up with was with hot water being in a tank, and you know, and if it runs out when you want to take a bath or something, you have to push a button and wait for it to heat up again. It's like, can't you just turn the tap on and get hot all the time? Nope. Or at that time, you know, it used to be meters where sometimes you have to put coins in the meter, or the electricity or the heat would cut off. I had never heard of that before. Even right before I'd come as a tourist, like if you bought an electrical appliance, you had to attach the plug yourself. It's like, oh my God, why would they trust people to do that? You could blow up yourself, you know, if you did that. Yeah, things like that.
Tell me a little bit more about what it's like where you grew up in LA, whereabouts?
Long Beach, the Long Beach Carson, yeah, Long Beach area. You know, very black middle class area. I actually Googled it a couple of weeks ago and found out that it's the that area has the greatest concentration of upper middle class black people of the whole of the United States. So when my parents moved there, it was a primarily white neighborhood, and then what happened was a white flight, as they call it, as the blacks started moving in, the whites started moving out. But now that the properties are really highly valued, the whites are trying to move back in and can't afford it anymore. But yeah, very, very nice, good schools, good education, good parks and recreation and extracurricular things for kids, and good infrastructure and stuff. And it's a part of the LA County, so you know, you're included in all the activities and benefits of being a part of Greater Los Angeles as well. You know, great weather, of course, the beaches not so far away, and you know, low cost of living. You know,
have you been watching this project on the web at all?
I've actually been coming down more so because I live really close, because I just wanted to get a feel for what it was about and what was in store. So no, I've actually, when me and the guys, they came around to my house, when we decided, okay, to map out what I would be doing on the plinth, we went on my computer and watched various little clips. But then I thought, I need to go down. So I've been coming down every other day or so and observing, and then actually talking to some of the security people, just to ask what do they think and how do the audience respond and this and that and the other. And you know, they've told me, oh yeah, you know, you should try this, you should try that, and this. And so getting advice as well. So my experience has been a little bit more hands-on than, you know, virtual, right?
Do you have any reservations about it? Any concerns?
Oh, yeah. I'm just nervous. I mean, my concerns aren't so much for safety. I mean, I don't have a fear of heights or anything like that. But just, I guess, like I say, being up there alone, representing the group and having to sing and entertain. I mean, Trafalgar Square, I mean, that's sort of like Hollywood Bowl, you know. Who gets to perform in Trafalgar Square? No, only celebrities do. So to actually, how many people, I'll be one of 2,400 people who can say, I sang and performed in Trafalgar Square.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I hope that I live up to everything that is expected of me and from myself and from the friends and fans and supporters who are going to be out there today.